Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Live from the Hogan Campus Center at the College of the Holy Cross, it's the Crusaders Coaches Show, presented by JMB Financial Advisors and Stephen Lavalette, Holy Cross Class of 1978. Here's your host, Dick Lutzk.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Holy Cross Coaches Show from Crossroads in the Hogan Campus Center on the campus of the College of the Holy Cross. I'm Dick Lutzk, and for the next hour, we'll be talking about everything to do with Holy Cross sports. We're going to talk basketball with men's head coach Bill Carmody. We're going to talk football with head football coach Bob Chesney. We're going to talk women's basketball with head coach Bill Gibbons, all coming up in the next 60 minutes on Sports Radio 1440 WEEI and on Facebook Live. First, to men's basketball with head coach Bill Carmody and senior Matt Zygnorski from Sparta, New Jersey, here with us. We'll start with the coach first. You've been a head coach for 21 years now, at 14 years as an assistant at Princeton, 35 years in the business. Has getting a team ready for a season changed over the past 35 years? Have you changed your way to do it?
Dick, it's good to see you again this season. You know, I missed you.
I'm sure you did.
Yeah, so this is great for me.
Nice to see you, coach.
Yeah, all right. So what was the question?
I forgot.
Yeah. Now, I don't think things have changed that much as far as preparation for your team. These days, maybe 20 years ago, guys would come into practice and were out of shape a little bit. But now, and so you had to spend the first 3 weeks getting guys in shape and training and all that. But now it's a year-round endeavor, and so guys don't really come in. They come in almost ready to play, and so you have a little more time to go over some of the things, you know, your offense, your defense and all, but you're not so worried about, you know, running sprints and all this kind of stuff just to get them going.
Have rules changed at all about what you can do or can't do over in the preseason, how much time you can spend with the players and what you can do as far as practice to get ready for a season?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, it's a long season. And so now you can do some things in the summer for just a few hours. But, you start in September playing basketball, practicing, and October, November, December, January, February, March. So that's a long time. And
even longer if you get to play into April.
Yeah, much longer. That's right. But guys get tired of you, and you sort of get a little tired of some of the guys, honest with you. And so I'm in favor of getting rid of the summer stuff because I just don't think it just doesn't seem healthy to me.
Diversification on a daily basis?
Yeah, some day, like once a week, we go pick apples and stuff like that. And, we try to break it up a little bit, even today in practice, we just got out of practice, and it just seemed like we were getting a little routine. And we might do the apple picking soon.
Matt, do you get tired of playing against your teammates? You rather see some guys that wear different color uniforms?
I mean, I can't wait to, go play against some other teams, but I never get tired of playing against my teammates trying to kick their butts.
I'll bet you try to do that. Last year, strong finish to the season. You got to the semifinals of the Patriot League tournament. How do we build on what we accomplished last year?
Yeah, well, we were pretty bad last year during the first half of the year, but then, a lot of the younger guys got a little more confidence and played a little bit better, and the older guys were steady. And then Jahivas sort of really came into his own last year. So we have a lot of guys back from last year, and you just hope that there's been some improvement. And they're in the gym a lot, and they like to play, and they're self-motivated. So that's a good thing, when you're a coach. You guys just do it because they like to play and want to get better. So I don't know. Does that answer your question? I forget what your question was. It sounded more like a statement.
Your answers are always have nothing to do with my questions, but that's part of the course.
Like I said, it's good to see you, Dick.
You didn't lose any seniors from last year. Mm-hmm. Everybody back from last year and mm-hmm. a couple of new freshmen. Is that a good thing that you're working with guys that have been in the system for a couple of years now and know what you expect of them?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. And, you know, we have, you know, we have Ziggy as a senior and Pat Benson and Jehiva. Marcellus is Perkins is, you know, he doesn't, he's not playing, but he's a senior. And just some, you know, just some mature guys out there that if things start going a little rocky here and there, then they know how to even things out.
Matt Zagnorski, one of the old men on the team, a senior now, was here 4 years ago when the team made that improbable, unlikely run through the Patriot League tournament to the NCAA championship. The bar was set high that year, and everybody expecting you to get back to the NCAA tournament, but it's not as easy as it sounds.
No, it's not. Not at all. And if you look, I don't know, the past probably like 20 years in the Patriot League, Bucknell the past 2 years is probably the first team to repeat in a very long time, so that just speaks to how difficult it is. But we would love nothing more to be able to go out there, compete, play together and execute and make it back to the big dance.
Well, what happens? What has to happen for this team to make it back again? What needs to occur on the floor with this group to get them ready to play in at that level again?
You know, I think we just have to, you know, in all regards, I mean, offense, defense, and all the things that are, you know, in offense, you know, passing and dribbling and shooting and playing together, all the things that, you know, and for any winning team, you have to play together and you have to have some ability. And I know we have ability, and I think we're learning to play together pretty well.
Signature win over Harvard last year when they were nationally ranked. One of the milestone wins, I think perhaps the most satisfying win for many of us, was the tournament win over Navy after they had beaten us in Worcester by a big score and beat us in overtime down there. And then in the quarterfinal round of the tournament, we went down to Annapolis and handed them a pretty big loss. Was that one of the more satisfying wins for you last year?
Yeah, I would say so. You know, even BU right before that, but certainly, you know, in the tournament, that was, you know, a big turnaround, and the guys really, you know, came through in a big way. And, you know, we did everything pretty well and, you know, sort of, listened to the game plan, I think, that, you know, the coaches put together and just gave it everything and came out on top.
4 years ago when we sat here, we talked about Jehiva Floyd being a freshman with raw talent. He's a senior now, last year Defensive Player of the Year in the Patriot League. What are your expectations for him this year?
Well, you know, I mean, I just want him to, you know, I'm not big on this leadership stuff. You know, a team, you like, you name a captain and he's the leader and all that. I just think that the guys that on the court are helping the other guys out and doing the things the right way and, you know, even when things are tough, you know, those are your leaders. And he's come, you know, he's starting to fill that role a little bit with a few other guys. And so that's really good to see. So I think he's going to do, you know, he's going to run, block shots, and, you know, he'll score around the basket and all. But he's made a real strides in just, you know, being involved and taking some account of whether we win or lose or if we play well or don't play well.
Six freshmen saw a lot of playing time last year. What will their roles be this year? Do you have them defined?
No.
Not yet?
No.
You expect them to certainly grow, I'm sure, but as you see preseason practice, who stands out?
Well, you know, it's too early to tell with freshmen, you know, right now, because we have so many veterans, even though a lot of them are sophomores. We have, you know, three seniors that are going to play a lot, and we have some sophomores that are going to play a lot. So, you know, you're going to have to come along a little more slowly and as a freshman, but, I mean, there's opportunities, certainly.
Two new freshman scholarship players, Blake Verbeek from Grand Rapids, Michigan, and Marlon Hargis from Mays Landing, New Jersey. What are your expectations for them?
Yeah, just hope they get better and they, you know, they learn and they pick things up. And they're both smart players and they're both pretty hard workers. So I think that's a good combination.
All right, I'm going to put you on the spot. I know you like that a lot, but talk about this fellow sitting right next to us. He came in as a freshman in your first year. You've watched him develop over the last 3 years. What are your expectations for him? Tell us about how he's developed over the past 3 years and
How many questions are you going to ask me? Ask me one question, I'll answer it.
All right. What are your expectations for Matt Zagnorski this
year?
Yeah,
well, just as I was talking, you know, with, about Jehiva, you know, Matt's a steadying influence on us. You know, he's had some problems with his knees, you know, last couple of years, but he knows what he's doing out there. I know I can trust him out there. When he's out there, you know, our offense runs smoothly, and he gets the ball to the right guy. He just usually makes the right plays. And, you know, he helps other guys. That's just what I was talking about. He makes it easier for the younger guys to see what they're doing wrong and how they can improve, and congratulates them when they're doing well.
The six freshmen that saw a lot of action last year, their development, of course, do you have a plan when kids come in as a freshman as to what you expect of them as a sophomore and a junior and a senior? Do you have something that you expect them to follow, a course of action?
I wouldn't say so. I think everyone's, you know, sort of maybe individually we do. You know, you say, well, this guy's got to get stronger. This guy's got to work on his dribbling. You know, the different, you know, attributes you need to be a good player. But I wouldn't say it's, you know, etched in stone or anything like that. You look and you see how's he developing after, you know, a couple months, and then and what can we do to help that? And then, you know, you get to a point where you say there's no sense. Jehiva, for instance, there's no sense working on your three-point shot because it's not going to, you know, I'm a coach. I'm not a social worker. You know, there's certain things you can accomplish. And so I think that's what you do with all your players. You say, this is what he's really good at, so let's zero in on that, be good at that. And then generally confidence, you know, arises in that person and that player. And then the next thing happens. Oh, his dribbling has improved because he's feeling a little bit better about himself. I don't know if that exactly answered your question, but I think, you know, we look at each guy individually and see how we can help him improve.
Let's talk a little bit about the schedule. You open with Sacred Heart next Tuesday night and then go out to Michigan and then play in that tournament at Uncasville, Connecticut the following weekend. What about your non-conference schedule? How do you feel about it?
Well, it's challenging, I would say. You know, we have a lot of – we have some tough games away. You know, you mentioned that. We play Providence away, Michigan away, UMass away. We have URI here. And then Harvard away. You know, you have some tough teams. So we're going to have to certainly be ready. It's challenging, but I think we could be up to it.
Matt Zagnorski, the senior from Sparta. The 4 years flies by, doesn't it?
It's unbelievable, yep.
Economics major. What do you hope to do with your degree when you graduate?
Right now I'm looking to do something in the business world, definitely probably more related to finance, whether it be working for portfolio managers or being an analyst or doing some business development-wise. I'm not too sure yet, but I'm starting to feel out what I like to do and talk to different companies here and there.
Looking at your bio, you had an internship this past year. Tell me about that.
Yeah, that was great. That was with Opus Investment Management, which is a subsidiary of Hanover Insurance Group right here in Worcester. So it was kind of like two birds with one stone. I was able to be here to practice all summer and go into work every day and just learn so many different facets about the business world and kind of test out certain jobs and projects, what I liked, what I didn't like, and it was a good experience.
How would you describe your 4 years at Holy Cross? What was the experience? Aside from basketball, what was the experience like?
It was unbelievable. It was the best decision I ever made, and I'm very grateful to Coach Carmi for taking a chance on that skinny kid from Sparta about 35 pounds ago. That was
skinny kid from Sparta 35 pounds ago. All right, we get started next Tuesday night against Sacred Heart. Is everything pretty much in place, or do you have still work to do, or are you ready to go?
You know, we have work to do, but as long as they don't do certain things, we'll be okay. Certain things we haven't really touched on, but you know, I think that, you know, the bread and butter, the meat and potatoes of things, you know, we should be ready to go, I think.
Great home crowds last year. You had the Rocka student section during the home finale against American. What's it like to play in front of those big, loud crowds at the Hart Center, Matt?
That's great. You know, I think we have definitely one of the best home court advantages in the Patriot League, and it's just even more fun to play when we get the students there, when we get just general crowd to come, support from Worcester, which is always great. It's just a lot more exciting and a lot more energy in the gym.
Do you have expectations, Coach Carmody, for what this team can accomplish this year? I know you told me a couple of weeks ago that you thought you could be pretty good.
Yeah, I'm not taking that back. I think that was an accurate statement.
Can you elaborate a little bit as to how good you think they can be?
You know, again, it's too early to tell, but I think we could, you know, we could be pretty good. I mean, you just want to be a tough out. You know, beat the teams you should beat, and then play well against some of the teams that people don't think you have a shot at.
Going out to Michigan, of course, you've got plenty of experience in the Big Ten. What's that going to be like for this group?
It'll be good, you know. But, you know, a lot of these guys, you know, want that challenge. That's, you know, to play against, you know, bigger conference schools. And Michigan certainly has been very good for a number of years. So that's a good one. And Providence, the same thing. URI, these are all, you know, tough teams. But I think that's what we want to do here at Holy Cross.
Top four scorers from last year, Jahiva Floyd, Austin Butler, Jacob Grandison, Caleb Green, all back. Will that be where the points will come from for the most part, do you think, as you look ahead?
I imagine, yeah, I imagine that would be it. You know, it's a good group. But, you know, we've been playing and we've sort of been going like purple and white team, and white team is right there with the purple team. You know, beats them sometime, but always close. And so I feel like the depth is better than it has been.
You told me a while back that you like to set up a rotation of 7 or 8 or 9 guys during the course of the year and pretty much stick with that and have everybody know their roles during that situation. Have you figured out your rotation at the start yet for this season?
I mean, I think I figure out, you know, who I think is going to start. I don't I try to tell our guys that, you know, as I mentioned before, it's like a 5-month season and nothing's a permanent, it's not a permanent condition. Guys can, and certain guys, as I mentioned, on the white team are starting to play, you know, and they start thinking, maybe they should be wearing purple. And so guys improve and at different times. That's, you know, take Jahiva, for instance. I mean, he didn't play much at all as a freshman, a little bit as a sophomore. And then all of a sudden it clicked, something happened. Or maybe I just, you know, was a little dumber in his first 2 years.
Matt, what's the atmosphere in the room like right now? What are the expectations for the guys?
We're excited, and we're hungry, and we want to go out there and just be able to compete every game and play our hardest, play together, and have fun.
It all begins Tuesday at the Heart Center with Sacred Heart. I'm looking forward to it. I think that it'll be a great season, and I promise you I won't say anything about the New York Football Giants. And I kept my word, didn't I?
You're something. You know?
I did.
You're something.
The New York Football Giants, Bill Carmody's favorite team. They're tanking it already. Thanks, Coach.
All right, Dick. Thanks a lot.
See you Tuesday. Matt Zagnorski, thank you very much. Holy Cross men's basketball is back. Don't miss the Crusaders home opener at the Heart Center Tuesday, November 6th, when they take on the Sacred Heart Pioneers at 7 o'clock. More information and to secure your tickets, visit GoHolyCross.com or call 1-844-GO-CROSS. We'll continue with Bob Chesney and talk Holy Cross football after this from the Crossroads at the Hogan Center on the campus of the College of the Holy Cross. We continue with the Coaches Show right after this.
We now return to the Holy Cross Crusaders Coaches Show on Sports Radio 1440 WEEI with your host, Dick Lutz.
From Crossroads at the Hogan Campus Center on the campus of the College of the Holy Cross, we continue with the Holy Cross Coaches Show. Bob Chesney, the head football coach, will be joining us in just a moment. First, a couple of notes on campus. Junior Jenna Gasparini has been named the C.K. Smith Superior Crusader of the Week for competition from October 22nd through the 28th. Gasparini finished in second place as an individual for the Holy Cross women's cross country team at the Patriot League Championship. Three Holy Cross women's soccer players named All Patriot League. Carly Flahive named to the second team, and Shezlia and Caroline Wallace named to the third team. The men's soccer team defeated Army West Point on senior day 3-2. They closed out their season at Lehigh on Saturday, and the women's field hockey team closed out their season with a tough overtime loss to Quinnipiac on senior day. Now let's bring on Holy Cross head football coach Bob Chesney. I don't know where to begin. 56-0 over Lehigh. What went right?
Everything. You know, everything went right. I think we finally put it together in all three phases. I thought our guys, you know, were opportunistic when things presented themselves. We capitalized on it, and I think that's something that's just been missing for a little bit. We haven't been one for many turnovers. We've turned it over a few times, and I think that this past game, that was not the case. Our guys played very hard in some really tough, you know, tough weather, but, you know, we certainly stepped up.
What about the weather? It was a rainy, windy, nasty day.
Yeah.
The field held up extremely
great.
Well.
Unbelievably well. I think our grounds crew, what a job, because you think back to the Yale game, then back to the Dartmouth game, and it was starting to pull up a little bit, and you think, oh, man, how's this going to make it the whole year? Then you go to that rainy game like it was, and it was perfect. I mean, there's very little damage done to that field on a day like that. That's odd.
I was really amazed at that.
Good job by them.
It was really, really terrific to see, but of course, 200-yard rushes in a single game. Dominic Cozier, the offensive player of the week in the Patriot League, with a 208-yard day. Miles Alexander rushing for over 100 yards. I think not enough credit is heaped on the offensive line for the work that they did on a day like that.
Well, I think that's where it goes in that moment. I think that our running backs did an unbelievable job of setting up unblocked defenders, which often is the case. against any good defense, you're going to have one guy that's unblocked. And I thought they set him up very well and presented themselves with larger runs. And then when that guy was right in front of them, they did a good job of breaking through and running through some arm tackles and making some big runs. But the offensive line played it was a dominant effort, very dominant. And on the front defensively as well, similar.
A couple of points from the game, the 56-point margin of victory. Holy Cross largest since defeating Lehigh 63-6 back in 1987. Miles Alexander, 11 carries, 118 yards in the score to give the Crusaders the two 100-yarders. That's the first time that's happened since November 8, 1997 at Lehigh when Joe Chambers and John Aloisi did it. 56 points, the Crusaders most since scoring 59 at Lehigh back in 2007. 405 rushing yards in the game, the most since running for 419 at Central Connecticut back in 2013. So a lot of accomplishments during the course of that game.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think they're all against Lehigh too, which is interesting. But I think they've certainly had our number over the past bunch of years here. And I think that the thing we were concerned with is 2 years ago we played that same game here. That quarterback was a young quarterback, the running back, same running back, similar receivers. And you look at that and you say their coaching staff, their players have more experience in this field than our coaching staff does and than some of the players that we're going to be playing. So you think there's a little bit of an advantage that goes to them, but we proved it otherwise.
Neil Vorster will be joining us in the second segment. And I was going to ask you, and I'll ask him later on, what did you do to stop Don Bragalone the way you did?
Well, those guys up front, they did a really good job. He's a guy we just talked about when a running back gets to that, unblocked defender, which is usually a corner or a safety. A lot of times, that running back poses a problem for the corner or safety. This guy in particular, the preseason, offensive player of the year, certainly, could have and would have, and at the same time, he didn't. They never let it get past, that first level a lot of times, let alone the second level. So the up front, the defensive line and the linebacking core did an unbelievable job of not letting it get to that third level.
Dominic Cozier had a couple of touchdown runs. Martin Dorsey, a couple of, again, terrific touchdown catches. We've talked about Martin's abilities in the past.
Yeah.
He makes some really remarkable catches.
He does. Body balance, ability to time it up and catch the ball at the high point, and he really sees the ball differently. And I think the thing for him, I think back to some receivers we've had in the past, and the ability, his top end speed's one thing, but his ability to accelerate off the ground, right, to go get the ball at the high point or to lay out is really different. That's what I think sets him apart. And to be able to jump and track the ball, sometimes, you jump, your eyes move, and it's not that easy of a catch to make. And for him, he makes those look pretty routine.
Jeff Wade didn't throw the ball all that often.
Yeah.
Weather conditions certainly a factor. But when he did, he was pretty effective.
He was very effective. And I think, again, being able to take what they were giving us, and then, when it was even across the board, finding matchups that we liked, and I thought he did a nice job of that.
All right, put it in perspective. What does it all mean?
I mean, what does it mean is that I think you go back to that Harvard game, and I think you look at it and say that was a pretty good football game that we played, and I think there was, two or three plays that we wish we could have back, two or three turnovers we wish we could have back. When we had a chance to make a turnover, we seemed to do it and give it right back to them, and there's things in there that just didn't go our way, but they did, on Saturday. But that's two games sort of back-to-back in a row where we started to play just a very different brand of football, and I feel like that's something that obviously needs to continue. I think our confidence is very high, and I think that the way we practiced today coming off the field, a few hours ago was, again, just the same thing it's been. Regardless of our record, regardless of if we come off a win or a loss, the thing that I'm most proud of is the way that we prepare and the way these guys practice. It's going to lead to something big, as we go down this road. And, you wish it was a little bit more in the win column. It's not right now, but how do we control that? We control it day by day by what we do with our energy, what we do with our effort, and how we prepare.
Win the next game on Saturday. That's the one that
counts.
That's
all, right?
When you watch the tape, when you and the staff get together to break down a game after such a one-sided game, how do you do that?
Well, I think you try to be critical is what you try to do, because I think everybody feels good, right? And I think feeling good is not always the best way to evaluate your performance. I think trying to be critical and trying to find those things that you say, hey, the weather might have helped us, or maybe it was a mismatch that might have helped us, or this. What if it's not the case, moving forward? Did we do enough to beat a really good team on even field, or a team better than us, is what you're always thinking about. Is it enough? And I think there were things that we did throughout that game that was certainly enough, and there were things we did that were not. So I think we just try to be as critical as you can and take the emotion out of it. Just like when you lose, you take the emotion out of it, and you try to just evaluate it, critique it, be critical, and get better.
You know, you look back on the season, the Colgate game when they jumped out ahead of us and we closed on them in the second half. I think since our game, they've only given up like 6 points the rest of the way.
Zero points.
The rest of the way. Yeah. They're 4-0 in the conference, right. And nobody's been able to score.
No,
it's
nobody.
It's remarkable.
It's remarkable. They're playing some great defense, obviously, and great offense. You know, they're a very good football team, as we know. I think that we're a very good football team, and I think that, again, there's certain moments we'd like to have back, and I think that at the same time, you know, we control what we can control right now.
Well, you got Lafayette coming up this weekend, another big Patriot League game, a road game coming up. What's the approach?
Well, this is a very good football team, and I think that you know, their record and their statistics don't quite, you know, say that. But this is a team that, you know, is now been together for 2 years with their coaching staff. They are in the second half to the latter part of this season. The quarterback, you know, I think they found their quarterback, and he's playing some unbelievable football. They have a very, very good, you know, receiver out there, and this is going to be a very tough, you know, tough matchup. I think they're a lot like us. They're really good on defense. They're special teams. When you see these two returners, you know, they really make you think about what you're going to do with that football, just because I think one's averaging over 30 yards, another guy's averaging over 25 yards, and they have, I think, two or three touchdowns on punt and kick returns. That's abnormal, and I think that, you know, that speaks volumes of just how good they are and how complete of a team they are. From a team last year that when you watch that film, you say, man, there's not a lot there, you know, offensively. All of a sudden there is. They're clicking. They've been able to expand their playbook, and they're believing in what they're doing. That will be a very, very, very tough test.
Well, their coach has only been there a little while, too, so he's getting his system in.
That's
it takes
right.
a while to do that, as you know. Do they look like the Dallas Cowboys at all? I mean, his brother is the head coach of the Cowboys.
No, they don't necessarily look like them, thankfully. But a lot of things they're doing, they do a lot of stuff. They do a lot of pro NFL style stuff. You know, they'll be under center, and then some of the route concepts they do are, you know, have some complexity to them. And I think on the outside looking at it, but I think for the quarterback, there's some simplicity to it, so it allows him to deliver quickly and again with some conviction.
They've won two straight, three of their last four. So as you say, they've been playing extremely well.
Yeah.
Finishing the season, finishing the conference season on a strong note, important going into next year.
Yeah, I think, you know, I mean, finishing each week, you know, on a strong note is important. We can't always control the outcome. We can't always control necessarily some of the matchups that might be created out there. But at the same time, you know, us handling it day by day is the key here. And I'm just, again, extremely, extremely pleased and very proud of the way our guys go about that.
Have you seen enough of the Patriot League so far this year and the tapes that you've watched to form a general observation, a general opinion?
Not really. I think, I mean, we have three games left, right? And I think we played three, we have three left. So I think the bulk of it's coming down the road here. I think that Lehigh team, you know, was a little bit muted because of the conditions we were in. So I think, you know, I don't have, you know, we need a little more information. I can answer that question, I'm sure, at the end of these couple games.
All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to bring up Derek Mountain and Neil Vorster and talk Holy Cross football. We're on the Coach's Show. We're at Crossroads in the Hogan Campus Center on the college campus at Holy Cross. We're going to talk women's basketball in our final segment coming up with head coach Bill Gibbons. All ahead from the Crossroads at the Hogan Center. We'll be continuing right after this on Sports Radio 1440 WEEI and on Facebook Live.
You're listening to the Holy Cross Crusaders Coaches Show with Dick Lutsk on Sports Radio 1440 WEEI.
And Crusader fans, don't forget your last chance to see the Crusaders at Fitton Field this season is Saturday, November 12th at noon when they take on the Fordham Rams. It's Military Appreciation and First Responders Day. The first 500 fans will receive a Crusader camo hat courtesy of Pepsi, and all active and retired military and first responders can receive free admission at the door with a valid ID. More information and to secure your tickets, visit GoHolyCross.com or call 1-844-GO-CROSS. We're back on the Coach's Show with Holy Cross head football coach Bob Chesney. We're joined by seniors Derek Mountain and Neil Vorster. How much fun was that game against Lehigh this past week? Derek Mountain sitting next to me.
That's what you want. We came out and dominated. That was a lot of fun for us. So we, as a senior class, too, we haven't beaten those guys yet, so it was a lot of fun.
Neil, you must have enjoyed it because you were eating up Gragolone all afternoon.
I mean, it was a lot of fun. We being out in the rain, being on the line, it was a lot of fun being in the trenches. And like Derek just said, that we haven't beaten them as a senior class, so it was a good experience.
Coming up to Lafayette, you've won five of the last six against the Leopards. How much confidence does that give the players, knowing that you've had success against a team like that?
Well, I mean, to go out and do what we did last week was great for our team, especially morale-wise, and just to know that we can do it, we're capable of doing that. But this is a really good team, as Coach said, and we got to amp it up in practice this week. And, we all know what happened last year, so we're can't overlook these guys, and we're excited.
Neil, what do you think?
Yeah, definitely can't overlook these guys. They last year was definitely disappointing, but we know what we got, especially coming off of last week, and we just gotta play hard. And we know that they're a different team this year for
Coach
sure.
Coach Chesney, does results of one season have any impact on the next season?
No, I don't think so. I think that you can learn some lessons, but I think that often the team that won, you know, just needs to be a little more cautious, right? Because I think the other team probably has a little bit, a little bit gunning for that other team, you know, at that moment. And I think that, you know, you certainly look at those matchups and you look at things that worked well, try to replicate them. You know, you look at some things that didn't, you try to stay away from them. You know, so there's learning experiences for both teams. There's probably a little bit of an emotional investment in it, you know, for that team that may be lost, I think, sometimes.
One of the eight touchdowns that Holy Cross scored against Lehigh was a great play, a rollout to the right by Jeff Wade. Going across the field, he threw downfield and found a wide-open Derek Mountain for the touchdown. Talk about that play. How did it all come about?
It was third and long in our territory, and we ran it all week, and it was working on the D, and I was really excited for it. That's just a really tough play for the defense, and we knew they were a man coverage team, and you kind of get lost in the rollout, and you just slip underneath, and it worked. It was awesome. It's really fun. It's a good way to start the game.
Is that something that scouting
yes.
develops? You knew their tendency in a certain situation, or you saw what they were doing the previous play and it came down from upstairs?
Yeah, I think they're aggressive, right? They're aggressive, but they're also in some man, you know, coverage. And I think that, you know, when you do that, like Derek just said, there's an ability for some interior, you know, receiver to become available, you know, getting across the field, kind of get lost in that a little bit. And I think that's exactly what happened.
Neil Vorster is from Exeter, New Hampshire. Derek Mountain's from Bryn Mawr, Pennsylvania. He's an Eagles fan. We'll try to skip past that as fast as we can. Neil, I know
he may not let you, though. He may not let you.
I know that prior to the New Hampshire game, Coach McDonald at New Hampshire was talking about you, saying that they recruited you pretty heavily and they were disappointed to lose you to Holy Cross. An Exeter guy coming to Holy Cross in Worcester, what was the decision-making process there?
I mean, from the beginning, I was recruited here pretty early on in the process, and basically since day one, kind of the people that have been around, that's been a part from like junior year of high school. I've done a few visits, came to a few spring ball games, and it was definitely the people that made me really want to come here. Just the guys on the team, and it's definitely held true.
Now we had Teddy Capsis with us a few weeks ago, and we were talking about the fact that you, Mark Ebo, McArdle, and Teddy, you've been together for a while. You get to know each other pretty well. How important is that to play together alongside the same guys all the time?
I mean, it's very important. There's a big chemistry that you build with the guys around you. I mean, me and Jake, we've been on the interior for a while, and being with Ted, you got to build that chemistry with each other. You know, coming off of blocks and seeing, kind of getting a feel of what you're doing.
Coach, is that something that's taught and coached, or is that something that these guys have to develop themselves on the field to know each other?
Yeah, well, there's scheme that is taught. As far as knowing each other, that takes time, right? That chemistry is only developed by spending time together. And I think however many times Neil maybe saw Teddy do something and correct Teddy's mistake or vice versa, I think that comes with knowing each other's tendencies a little bit from past experiences and just really getting each other's back. That's what that is really about.
Derek Mountain came on as a wideout and then moved to tight end last year. What was that transition like?
It was actually a pretty good one. It was kind of a half trade-off. On the receiving end, I was, like, experienced, and I thought it helped me, and I had a little bit of an advantage, but the blocking stuff and putting my hand on the ground for the first time, that was, like, foreign to me. So that was obviously a huge learning curve. But, I mean, I think more than half of blocking is, like, your attitude about it. So I was all in from the start, and I love it.
We first got to know Derek when he was a walk-on with the basketball team 4 years ago. And the team made it to the NCAA tournament. That was quite a run, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's an unbelievable memory for me. That was really fun. That was a great year.
Coach, tell me about these two guys.
I think they're great. I think they're leaders. You know, they're both leaders on their side of the ball. They're both extremely, extremely hard workers. I think that's the thing when you talk about both these guys that stands out. I think they both have very positive attitudes again, the things that we talk about, the positive attitudes, attention to detail, urgency, you know, you might as well be talking about these two guys. You know, I think that's important when you're saying that that's what you want your team to, you know, to take on that type of personality. And here's two guys that did it from day one and have that in them from day one. This is important to them. It's important for them to give their best. It's important for them to see results from giving their best. And I think, you know, they stayed the course regardless of situations in the past, and they just continually prove, you know, just how good they are each week they step foot on that field.
Derek's an Eagles fan, as I mentioned. Did you go to the parade last year?
I was not able to go to the parade, no.
You didn't go to the parade, huh?
No.
He debated it, yeah.
A philosophy major, what do you hope to do with that degree when you graduate?
I have a passion for that field, but, I see myself in sports administration or sports business. Like, my dream would be work in the front office of an NFL team. I would love to do that.
Any particular NFL team that comes to mind?
One down the street from me. That'd be pretty nice.
Neil Vorster is an economics major. What do you hope to do with your degree when you graduate?
You know, that's still up in the open. I had an internship this last summer that I enjoyed, did a little management course and stuff like that. So it's still in the open, but it's definitely a passion of mine.
Tough question to ask, and I'll ask you both. Put football and basketball aside for the moment, and tell me about your experience at Holy Cross. Neil, you first.
I mean, basically since I got here, football aside, just kind of the community is what made it pretty cool. Just the small campus, just everyone around you. It's definitely a tight-knit feeling, and I definitely like the atmosphere around.
Yeah, adding on to that, I think you just make a bunch of great relationships here. People really care about you, like everyone from the professors to just regular students that you meet along the way. I think there is definitely a special feeling about the community here.
Coach, I know you don't want to look too far ahead. It's our last show before Senior Day against Fordham, November 10th. One last game at Fitton Field coming up for the seniors. That's always a difficult time, an emotional time, as you look ahead.
Yeah, well, I mean, for the seniors, they've invested so much in it, you know, and they spent so much time on that field, and they spent so much time in battles on that field. That's hard to walk off of it, and I think that's one thing I always try to say to those guys is just be slow to take those pads off, man. Be slow to take them off the last time you're on that field with your friends that will become and are your friends for life, you know, and think about all those things you've gone through, you know, in on those moments on that field. And, you know, I think there's a time at the end of that where maybe what you're used to doing at the end of a game just slows down a little bit, and you take a couple last minutes to enjoy being there and enjoy those guys that you spent so much time with.
Guys, have you thought about what that's going to be like on the last senior day at Fitton Field? Derek?
I try not to think about it, but you know it's coming. And, I mean, we've been through so much as a class, and just to go out there one last time with our brothers and with all we've been through, I wouldn't trade it for anything. So you just try to take it all in.
Neil?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely going to be emotional. It's definitely don't want to look to it right now, but it's it'll be quite an experience that definitely hold on to
important
for a while.
Important to finish strong. We've got Lafayette this week, and we finish out with a couple more Patriot League games after that. And certainly want to build some momentum, Coach.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely do. And I think that, again, we control the outcome based on what we do all week long. And then sometimes things go exactly as you plan. Sometimes they don't. But in the end, I think knowing that we do every single thing we can all week long, you know, is something that then when we get in the game, we have a chance to just let it rip. That's what this whole entire thing's about. You know, there are certain things that happen. Sometimes the ball doesn't bounce your way, but we plan for that to bounce our way over these next couple.
Guys, was it fun playing in that weather on Saturday?
Oh, yeah.
Was it enjoyable? I mean, is it enjoyable to be out there in that inclement weather?
That was awesome. I loved it.
Yeah. I loved it. I didn't have to worry about the ball security or anything. You know, just kind of going out there.
It was
a lot
of
fun.
That line and banging heads, huh?
Yeah, get dirty. It was fun.
That was great. Congratulations on a great win. Good luck Saturday against Lafayette. Coach, thank you very much. Yeah. Appreciate Bob Chesney, the head coach of the Holy Cross football team, Neil Vorster, and Derek Mountain, two seniors. We will continue talking women's basketball next on the Holy Cross Coaches Show from Crossroads in the Hogan Center after this on Sports Radio 1440 WEEI and on Facebook Live.
Now, back to the Holy Cross Crusaders Coaches Show on Sports Radio 1440 WEEI.
And we close out the show talking women's basketball from Crossroads in the Hogan Center on the campus of the College of the Holy Cross in Worcester. I'm Dick Lutz. Happy to have you with us for our Coaches Show. Thanks to the Red Sox, by the way, for allowing us to come back tonight, dispatching the Dodgers in five games and giving us an opportunity to be here tonight. Had they gone a sixth game, we would have been preempted for the Red Sox.
And I wouldn't have been here. I would have been cheering on my boys.
Yeah, well, you cheered them on over the weekend, and they did the job, didn't they?
I did.
Bill Gibbons, the head coach of the Holy Cross women, in his 34th season on Mount St. James, and a couple of seniors joining him, Maggie Locke and Miranda Nixon. And, Coach, welcome. Nice to see you again.
Good to be with you, Richard.
What are your expectations for the 18-19 season?
Cautiously optimistic. I like the way the girls have been working and excited. Spoke out at Chuck's last night to a group of diehard alums and got revved up with Coach Carmody, and we're anxious to get underway. The team's been working hard, and we want to erase the pit of the last couple years and go win some ball games and compete for a Patriot League championship. That's the goal. So, but the girls are working hard. I'm happy with the way Maggie and Miranda and Smitty have led us, and again, cautiously optimistic.
That's the same question I asked Coach Carmody earlier on when he was here. You've been at it a long time. Has getting a team ready for the start of a season changed over the course of 34 years?
Not what you have to do. It's just changed. I remember the old days of October 15th, you know, and you could go 6 days a week, and you opened up November 11th, so you had 3 weeks to get them ready. Now we can start practice 42 days before our first game, so we open practice September 30th, which is a long time, and you have to give them 12 days off, which they're happy with, but it is good. So generally we go 5 or sometimes 6 days a week. So it's a little different in the preparation, but I think it's good for the student-athletes to have that time off.
Leading scorer Lauren Manis, a preseason pick to be a Patriot League Player of the Year, I believe, is back again this year as a junior, 17.5 points a game she averaged last year. What's her ceiling?
Well, I mean, she has improved from last year, so her ceiling is, you know, still going up because she's worked her tail off in the off season. She's gotten stronger. She's got more moves to her repertoire, and you know, we've been having the male practice players come up and kind of bang her around, and because she's going to get a lot of attention. But you know, some of her teammates have certainly picked up the slack and come back, including Megan Swords, who really is banging and opening things up for Lauren. She's one of those players that even if Megan doesn't get the rebound, she's occupying two opponents so someone else can get the rebound. But, again, it's not going to be a one-man show, but Lauren certainly is going to be the key person that everyone's trying to shut down.
Maggie Locke, a senior from Collegeville, Pennsylvania. Miranda Nixon, a senior from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, the state of Pennsylvania, well represented. Maggie,
biggest pencil in the world.
Maggie missed last year because of an injury. How hard was that?
It was difficult to sit out, but I think it was a good learning experience. On the sideline, you get to see the game in a different way, and I had a different role on the team than I've had before, so I got to talk with the coaches a lot. I got a lot closer with them, but also I had an opportunity to have one-on-one conversations with the girls during games.
Miranda made 19 appearances off the bench last year, had 30 rebounds for the year. Tell me about your year last year and your expectations for yourself this year.
Well, stepping into this year as a senior, my expectations, I just think, is to lead the team as best as I can on and off the court. If I'm not out there, still be on the bench cheering my heart out for the girls that are on the floor, and really hoping that they do their best, regardless if I'm on the floor or not. So.
Bill, tell me about these two young ladies.
Well, these two young ladies, as you just mentioned, with Maggie being out, to have them both elected captains, I think speaks volumes about their leadership and about what they do in the locker room, you know, behind the scenes, and their teammates respect them and have given them that honor of electing them captain. So they're both terrific young ladies, as you said, that have been with me. I can't believe I remember having them in the office before. I think it was during camp, and I said it would fly by, and I can't believe they're seniors now. As much as I say that, it still flies by, but I'm hoping for nothing for the best these two, because they've worked hard and grown, not only on the court, but as young ladies in their 4 years here on Mount St. James.
Maggie, tell me about the recruiting process that brought you to Holy Cross.
So I was looking at mostly Patriot League schools, but when I was visiting other ones, I just didn't feel really like a family atmosphere. It kind of just felt like another school with like good academics, but I didn't really feel connected. And then when I came to Holy Cross, I immediately like felt a connection with the coaches and the girls. I got along well when we like had lunch, and it was nice to have like a casual conversation.
Who did more of the recruiting, Bill or Lisa?
Lisa definitely played a big role. It's nice
double
to have
team.
Her. Yeah.
Double team.
Miranda, tell me about your recruiting process.
So I was being looked at by a couple of different leagues, but when I came to Holy Cross, I just gotten back. It was very late.
It was late in the process.
So I only had 2 days to make my decision.
Wow.
But I fell in love as soon as I got here. I thought it was a great family atmosphere. Even one of the players, it was the summertime, and she came up to meet me. So I thought that that spoke volumes about how much they're dedicated to the team and how much of family it is. So
you're both sociology majors. What do you hope to do with the degrees first?
I'm still trying to keep my options open. I'm definitely looking for something with social justice and nonprofit work, but I'm also very interested in art.
Miranda?
I actually want to go into coaching. So
really?
Yes.
Great.
Yep. So after this year, trying to look for.
She's going
to
be a good coach, Coach?
Yeah, she'll be a terrific coach. She's got a lot of enthusiasm, a lot of energy, and that's a key part of being a coach.
All right, tell me about the makeup of your team as you go into the season, as you look for. What are your expectations?
Well, again, we have 6 home games in the non-conference, starting with Ryder a week from Sunday, but then we're at BC and Brown and then URI at home. So I like our schedule, and we've always used the pre-conference schedule, Dick, to get ourselves better and to play against tough competition.
You've always scheduled tough teams in your non-conference schedule.
And we do that this year, but I think this year we have the pieces to win. So I think we want to learn how to win, and we're not going in there just to compete or get better for the Patriot League. We want to win and learn how to win in those 11 games, and I'm excited about that, and we'll talk to the team about that. And starting with Harvard Friday, even though it's a closed scrimmage, we're going down there to win against one of the better Ivy League teams. So I think this schedule will prepare us, but I think we're ready to go out there and get some W's early, hopefully.
You lost a couple of your top scorers from last year, Infinity, Thomas Wahid, and Trisha Byrne.
Right.
Where will the points come from?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, other than Lauren, we've got to have other guys step up. And in our couple scrimmages, I think we've had 4 or 5 kids that have had 8 or more points. So I think that'll be best if Lauren's getting her points, but we have other guys stepping up to contribute. I think that's going to be the big thing for us this year. As much as we're talking about defense, our bugaboo last year was scoring enough points to win. And, you know, not that there's a magic number, every game is different, but I think the mid-60s, 65 would be our number. So we need guys to step up and be able to get us to that number.
Do you like to establish a rotation of 7, 8, or 9 players to go throughout the course of the year?
Yeah, and I think it can change, but I think this year we certainly can play 9 players. We're going to pick up full court on any delays and do some different things early in the year and then play a couple different defenses. So I think in order to do that, and plus we're going to push the ball on offense and really try to push and play and play that tempo. So our identity is going to be to get up and down, and you need to be able to have a deep bench to do that. And I believe, knock on wood, if we stay healthy and get healthy with Maddie Dembski in the crowd there and Maggie, we will be we'll be stronger and deeper.
Maddie Dembski is one of the freshmen. What about freshmen on the team? Any freshmen expecting to contribute?
Well, we'll see what happens, but I really like our 4 freshmen just because, number one, they're gym rats. Number two, they have great chemistry as a group. These guys have been very good in acclimating them, they being the upperclassmen and the seniors. They were freshmen once. But I really like Avery. LaBarbera is backing up Smitty right now, but pushing her every day in practice and playing very well. She was practice player of the day today, actually. Lucia Zemmer has probably been the most pleasant surprise. I said this last night, and no offense to Lucia, but she was the player of the year 2-time in Rhode Island. But being the player of the year in Rhode Island is like being the richest man in a poorhouse because she doesn't play a lot of competition, but she has really stepped up and really played well. I know I got some eyes from Alucci then, but I thought that was a good line.
It was a pretty good line.
Thank
bad.
You. Thank
not bad
you.
For you, yeah.
But not bad for me.
Yeah.
And Kelly Petro is another girl. She had a little knee injection, but she's doing a real good job in improving. And then the aforementioned Maddie Dembski coming off a knee injury, but will be back by Turkey Day.
Where's the strength in the Patriot League this year?
Bucknell. American, who won it last year, Loyola. I voted for Loyola, actually, number one, because they have a lot of pieces. They have Miranda's high school teammate, Bree Betts-White, who was a year ahead of her but missed last year with an injury but was first-team All-Patriot the year before. And she's coming back to a real good squad. But and then, you know, Lehigh, we were picked in the middle of the pack, which is fine, sixth. I wish we were picked even lower. So I could put that higher on the bulletin board. But it's going to be a wide-open Patriot League. It's going to be a tough Patriot League. I think we were 14th or 15th in the RPI. We're a very underrated conference with some great coaches. So we're going to have to be ready for every game. It's going to be a battle.
Maggie and Miranda, I asked the other athletes who were on earlier tonight a question I'm going to ask of you. Put basketball out of the picture. Tell me about your experience at Holy Cross. Maggie, you first.
I've had a really positive experience here. I really enjoy the small classroom environment, so I have good relationships with both or most of my teachers. Also, I've made a lot of friends. Like, of course, the team is like family, but outside of the team, I've also made strong relationships with a lot of girls.
Miranda?
Yeah, I think going off what Maggie said is that being at a small school, we're able to kind of go outside the team and not just stay within the 14 of us and make those connections with people that will be lifelong friends. And having those small classes is makes it 10 times easier to do better academically because you can go and talk to professors and not be afraid because you haven't seen them all semester. So,
Billy, 34 years. Has the excitement, anticipation changed at all? Is it still there as you get ready to start the season?
It's still there. And when it isn't there, I know it's time to go to the golf course with Lisa at a condo on the golf course. But right now I have the same butterflies in anticipation of the first game that I had 34 years ago at Ypsilanti, Michigan, at Eastern Michigan in Lidlifter that year. But the energy and enthusiasm and the butterflies, again, are still there. So I'm excited as I was as a young 25-year-old.
Holy Cross Women's Basketball opens their 2018-19 schedule at the Hart Center Sunday, November 11th, when they take on the Ryder Bronx at 7 p.m. For more information and to secure your tickets, visit GoHolyCross.com or call 1-844-GO-CROSS. Miranda, Maggie, good luck to you.
Thank you.
Gibbons, good luck to the Holy Cross women.
Thank you, Dick.
This year.
We'll see you down the road, as
I
they say.
I certainly hope so.
All right, thanks for having us.
I'm Dick Lutz. Thanks for listening. Our next Holy Cross Coaches Show coming up in a couple of weeks. We'll look forward to seeing you then at Crossroads in the Hogan Center on the campus of the College of the Holy Cross in Worcester. Thank you and good night.
You've been listening to the Crusaders Coaches Show presented by JMB Financial Advisors, providing custom capital solutions. We hope you'll join us next time from the Hogan Campus Center at the College of the Holy Cross and listen live on Sports Radio 1440 WEEI. This has been an exclusive presentation of Crusader Sports Properties and Outfront Media Sports. Crusader Sports Properties is a division of Outfront Media Sports.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.